I thank you for watching today. Will you turn in your Bible with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1? I appreciate you watching, and I hope it's a blessing to you today as we look into the Word of God. And I recommend that you get a pencil and a piece of paper. Write down the scripture references. Get your Bible and follow along with us. I'd like to mention to you that our aim is to just preach the gospel of Christ in its simplicity. We have no intent of trying to show you some kind of a razzle-dazzle type of a thing or impress you with any form of wisdom or whatever of this world. Just simply look and see what the Bible says on the basis of what Paul said about it, rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 2, a reference to Almighty God in verse 8. The very last word of verse 8 is God. Notice verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now, let's kind of break that down a little bit. Verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What is made manifest? The truth of verse 9. In verse 9, God hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That truth is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now let's do it again. Be sure you understand. In verse 10, is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What is now made manifest? Verse 9. God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. In other words, the fact that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, and that God Almighty has now in this age saved us. He has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works in this age, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. In other words, before the world began. And we'll say that right here represents the beginning of the world. Okay, before the world began then, God Almighty decided that this in here would take place. God Almighty chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That choice was not based upon our works in this age. It was based upon his purpose and his grace that was given us in Christ before the foundation of the world. So says verse 9. Now hold to the passage. Turn to Ephesians and look in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, notice in verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, according as he, God the Father, hath chosen us in him, God the Son, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now that is clear. Now let's do it again. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Then it is clear that God, before the foundation of the world, chose us in Christ. What did he base that choice upon? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 again. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Reference to God who hath called us, saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. In other words, before the foundation of the world, God Almighty had a purpose for us. That purpose is made clear in Romans chapter 8, which we'll see in a moment. But since God had that purpose for us, he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. But God couldn't get us to himself. He couldn't bring us into his presence because we were born in sin. Adam was put out of God's presence because of his nature. Adam disobeyed God, and by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All right, Adam became exceedingly sinful in the presence of God. So God put Adam out of the garden because of what he became. We were born in a state of condemnation. We were born in the likeness of Adam, according to Romans chapter 5. Therefore, God could not bring us into his presence in our present condition. So God, having chose us in Christ, having had a purpose for us, made plans. He planned the death of Christ at Calvary so that by Christ's death at Calvary, he could redeem us from all iniquity, according to the book of Titus, chapter 3. He redeemed us by the blood of Christ, and he has called us by the good news. What is the good news? That Jesus Christ, dying at Calvary, died for our sins. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again by our own choice, by our own free will. We believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, trusting that he paid for all our sins at Calvary. Therefore, one day in the future, God will change our vile bodies, make us like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ, catch us out of this world to ever be with the Lord. Then my text here says that before the foundation of the world, God chose us, called us with a holy calling, not based upon our works, but based upon his own purpose and his grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, what is that purpose? Hold on to Timothy and go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, look at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. In other words, Romans 8:28 matches the truth of 2 Timothy 2, verse 9. Now, let's do it again. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow. In other words, before the foundation of the world then, he did know us. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The conforming us to the image of his Son in verse 29 matches the purpose of verse 28. In other words, why did God Almighty choose us? Why did God Almighty call us? Because he wanted to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this, not based upon our works, not based upon what we could do for God. It was based upon what God could do for us. You look back there in that Old Testament scripture, and men brought gifts to God. Over and over. This gift, that gift. Leviticus. Read Leviticus. Leviticus chapters 1 through 7. A reference to the offerings to God. He said, if you bring an offering, this is the offering you must bring. God asks nothing from you. God does not ask that you bring him an offering. God does not call upon you for a gift. I know that people are brainwashed in the churches every Sunday morning. they hear some preacher say, "Now let us worship God with our tithes and our offerings." And they preach, "Bring ye the tithe into the storehouse," according to Malachi. And they take out of its context, they take 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul said, "Lay by ye in store on the first day of the week, as God hath prospered you," and on and on. And they mix all that together, and they call upon you to give an offering. The Bible says in Acts 17, "God dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth all life and breath," and on and on. Then you don't worship God with your hands. You don't worship God with your money. That's what the Bible said. So every time a preacher stands up and says, "Let us worship God with our tithes and our offerings," that is wrong. It shows this world isn't right. God is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. That's what the Bible said. Do you believe the Bible or not? If God is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, then how can you worship God with your hands by giving him money? It won't work. Why, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He said the gold and the silver is his. He didn't need your money. So, God Almighty had a purpose for our salvation. That purpose was in Christ before the foundation of the world. What purpose was it? He was going to make us like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. How is he going to do that? He gave Christ to die for us at Calvary so that by our faith in Christ, God can change our vile bodies and make us like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1 again. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, a reference to God, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began," verse 10, "but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ," and on and on. Well then, let's see if we can find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, let's see if we can find anything back there that will match this. In other words, the fact that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, the fact that he chose us and called us in Christ and on, is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, let's see if that appearing was back there. Turn in your Bible, please, to Matthew, and look in Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus heals some lepers. Verse 2, "Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was clean." Now watch what Jesus told him to do. "Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." In other words, Jesus Christ told some people back there to go and do. Why, he said, go and offer the gifts, you'll find them in Leviticus chapter 7, that Moses commanded you. I'm sorry, Leviticus chapters 1 through 7, Leviticus chapter 13, and so forth. Look back there and read them. They were to offer a blood sacrifice. God Almighty never called on you to offer a blood sacrifice. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to show you that the appearing of Jesus Christ in 2 Timothy chapter 1 cannot be his appearing back here. At the appearing of Jesus Christ, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1, he made manifest, he made known that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world based upon his grace and not upon our works. Well, we know that wasn't here because he told those people to work. He said, go and offer gifts, go and offer blood sacrifices. But let's try again. Turn, please, to Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew 19, verse 16. Matthew 19:16 says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" That's a good question. "And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Do you see that? Now, come on, folks. Just think. 2 Timothy chapter 1 says that God Almighty called us based upon not our works, not our keeping of the commandments, not of our offering gifts, but based upon his own purpose and grace given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ told a man here during this period of time, you want eternal life, then keep the commandments. There ain't no need for somebody to wrestle and hassle about this and say you're taking it out of its context. Read the context. The whole context is about what Jesus Christ taught and wrought and so forth at that time back there as compared to what Jesus Christ is doing in this age above the heavens. What is the context of Matthew? The context of Matthew is Jesus Christ as the King. Why, in Matthew 2, they said, where is he that's born King of the Jews? We don't worship Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews. We worship Jesus Christ as God Almighty manifest. Entered into that place where no man can enter into, according to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's not give up yet. In Matthew 19, he said, keep the commandments. Verse 18, he saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. Verse 20, the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. There ain't a preacher in America today that believes the passage literally. For that young man to have eternal life, he had to sell out everything he had and give it to the poor. That's what the Master said. And making a new translation won't do you any good. What did Jesus tell that rich young ruler? Matthew 19:21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect. Has to do with the resurrection. Go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. In other words, if that young man wanted to be in the resurrection over here, be perfected in resurrection, he had to sell out everything he had and give it to the poor. Say, oh, Brother Maurice is making that up. Well, let's see if I am. Look on down in the context. Verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 24, and again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So what are these great spiritual giants today? What do they do with this passage? They say the eye of a needle is a hole in the wall in Jerusalem. That's funny. Anybody that's an old country boy like I am, raised in the cotton fields and corn fields up in Alabama years ago, wouldn't even have to question what an eye of a needle is. Anybody that got sense enough to walk through the woods without bumping into the trees knows what an eye of a needle is. Said, but Brother Moore, I just don't understand how he could have referred to a camel walking through the eye of a needle. Well, of course you do. Your problem has nothing to do with understanding. Your problem is believing it. And a camel cannot walk through the eye of a needle. Neither in this instance could a rich man enter into the kingdom of God. That's the reason they said that ain't no pockets in shrouds. That's the reason of the statement, you can't take it with you. You know that old joke about the man who had all the wealth and he wanted to carry it with him, and so they put it in bundles and put it in the casket with him. One man standing there saw all this, went up and counted the money, wrote a check, put the check in there, and took the cash out. You can't take money with you, beloved, and you can't get into the kingdom of God without resurrection. Be resurrected into the kingdom of God. Be born again into the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and born from the dead, born into the kingdom of God. Now let's try again. Jesus appeared back here and told people, if you want to go into the kingdom of God, you've got to work to do it. You've got to keep the commandments, and he told some, you've got to offer some sacrifices and so forth. Yet, look in the text we're studying today in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, a reference to God who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Well, when did Jesus Christ appear then and make manifest a fact What fact? That God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, not based upon our works. Well, it's when he appeared to the Lord, to the Apostle Paul. Turn in your Bible, please, to Acts 26, and let's see if that won't work. In Acts 26, the Apostle Paul is giving his testimony. The testimony in Acts 26 matches the event of Acts 9. Now, verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now get the picture. The Apostle Paul, after Acts chapter 8, went to the leaders, got letters from them to go unto Damascus and bring bound in chains those that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. So he's on his way to Damascus. Suddenly there's this bright light, brighter than the noonday sun, the Bible said, appears unto him. He falls off the horse. He's down in the dirt there. And the Lord said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now look what he said. Verse 15, I said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon thy feet. Now watch closely. For I have appeared unto thee. For I have appeared unto thee. The Lord appeared in the manger as a baby. The Lord appeared unto Israel in his baptism. He was baptized by John. The voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He appeared there. And he went forth in that ministry that you'll find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then he died and was put away. He went out of sight. He was put in the tomb, and the tomb was sealed. Then the Lord appeared unto the apostles after his resurrection. He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. He said, Have you got anything to eat? They said, We've got some fish and some honeycomb. They gave him some and he ate it in their presence. And he said, Go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And on and on. He gave them that commission and they went forth with that. During that time, preaching repentance and baptism for remission of sins. But then, after he ascended up, he appeared to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. And when he appeared to the Apostle Paul, he made Paul the apostle to the Gentiles. He gave Paul the gospel to the Gentiles, which is the gospel of the grace of God. And that's clear to every Bible believer in America today that studies their Bible diligently, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now look at the thing again. In verse 16, But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, that is, in me. And Paul said, I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision. Now go back, please, to 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, reference to God who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, then, from the appearing of the Lord to Paul, God made manifest through Paul that salvation is not by works, it is by grace. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He died for your sins at Calvary, was buried and rose again. He'll save you if you'll trust him today. Thank you for listening. Next week, Lord willing, we'll take up where we left off today. Until then, Good day.